side. Rest to the restless, freedom from fear, when things seem impossible.
It's now time for worship with the Family Circle of Souls Harbor. We invite you, your family, and your friends in this next hour to worship with Pastor Rick Libby and the Souls Harbor Singers as they lead you in the songs of the church and in the sharing of God's Word.
For all of the problems of life, the answer is Christ.
Good morning, friends. Today we want to welcome you to another Souls Harbor worship service. I'm Pastor Rick Libby, the senior pastor of the Souls Harbor Ministry. Today, I believe there is something for everyone in this worship service. Regardless of who you are and where you may be or what you may be going through, I believe that if you'll open up your hearts and minds to receive from God, God will provide for you what you have need of. Perhaps today, you're like the folk that Hope Trio is coming to sing about. Maybe today you're searching for something to make the difference, but you're uncertain as to what that is. Well, I believe we can help you with that in this service today. We're going to point you to the one called Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, I believe that God can meet your every need. Listen to the words of this song as Hope Trio comes and sings, Searching.
A long, long time ago, my heart was burdened with sin. My head bowed down in sorrow, the devil had me troubled within. Well, I started out seeking salvation, hard time resisting temptation. Kept on searching till I found the King of Kings.
Well, I kept on searching. Kept on searching till I found him. I kept on searching. Kept on searching till I found him. I kept on searching. Kept on searching till I found him. It changed my heart
so I could live right.
Changed my mind
so I could think right.
Oh, it changed my mind.
So I could talk
got
right.
Got into my feet.
Changed my feet so I could walk right.
I kept on searching till I found the King of Kings.
Well, looking high and low along that wandering way, my soul was full of longing until that glorious day. It was then my anticipation gave way to sweet consolation. But I kept on searching till I found the King of Kings.
Searching,
kept on searching till I found him. I kept on searching,
kept on searching till I found him.
I kept on searching,
kept on searching till I found him.
He
changed my heart so I could live right.
He
changed my mind so I could think right.
He changed my mind,
changed my mouth so I could talk right.
Got into my
feet so I could walk right.
Kept on searching till I found the King of Kings. Well, I kept on
searching,
kept on searching till I found him. I kept on
searching,
kept on searching till I found him. I kept on
searching,
kept on searching till I found him. He
changed my heart so I could live right.
And he changed my mind
so I could think right.
He
changed my mouth so I could talk right.
Got into my feet
so I could walk right.
Kept on searching till I found the King of Kings.
Searching till I found the King of Kings.
Well, I kept on searching
till I found the King of Kings.
Every time I hear that song sung, my mind goes back to an experience that I had several years ago while pastoring an inner city church. It was a Sunday evening service. As I got ready to open the service, I happened to look back at the door and saw a young man enter that just seemed like, from all that I could see, had a dark cloud hovering over him, and it felt like there was just a real oppressive feeling surrounding him. People coming in off the street was not an unusual thing. It happened in about every service. And we watched as some of those folk would come in and then they would slip out a little later. Seemingly nothing happened in their lives. But this young man came in and sat down with us. And that particular night, we had a good old-fashioned gully washer of a service. Now, I know people tell us we can't have those kinds of services anymore. They are a thing way back in the distant past. But I'm going to submit to you tonight that if we hadn't had this kind of a service, then I wouldn't be here to tell you this story today. If you're an old-fashioned Pentecostal, you know the kind of service I'm describing. It was one of those services where the Spirit of God was moving and all kinds of things were happening. It seems like that from the very first song to the end of the message, things just kept getting a little higher and a little higher and a little higher, to where at the close of the message, it just seemed like we were in the clouds with Jesus. Well, I did something else that isn't done much anymore. I gave an altar call at the end of that message. As folk got out of their seats and came to the altar, I looked down, and this young man, with such a dark cloud over his life, with such a feeling of oppression all around him, he was in the crowd and came to that altar. I went down and prayed with him and began to talk with him a little bit to see what I could learn about this young man's life so that I could offer some ways to help him. As I talked to him, he began to tell me his story. This young man had searched the world over. He had traveled from country to country on a quest to find God. He said, "I've tried every religion that I could come across. I would stay with them for a while and see if I could find God in what they believed and what they practiced." He said, "Time after time again, I would come away so disappointed, my life so empty, that I had looked and I hadn't found what I was looking for." He said, "I never expected that after traveling the world and trying all of these different religions, that I would find what I was looking for right here in my own backyard." He said, "I came to this service today because somebody invited me, and I just felt like I wanted to do something good for them, so I came with no real expectation. But in this service tonight," he said, "I experienced something that I had been looking for a long, long time." He said, "I experienced the presence of God." Well, I don't have time to tell you all of this young man's story, but a few years later, I went to another church that God had led me to, and yet I kept tabs on this young man's life. And how glad I was to learn that after this young man had gone off for some seminary training, he involved himself in missionary work. In fact, what he did was this. He went back to those places that he had gone to in his search for God to tell those folk, "I found what I was looking for." And he began to minister to these different people groups in these far-off places. And as far as I know today, he's still doing it, because he found something that made the difference in his life. Today, you never can know what God will do unless you reach out to God and invite Him in. And when God comes in, He takes the nothingness of our lives. Like that young man, his life was aimless, full of wasted years, heartache, fears, and regrets. But in the moment of that old-fashioned altar service, all of that was washed away, and he found something that made the difference. I want to encourage you to listen to the words of this song that Joni Tilton is coming to sing. It tells the story, Something Out of Nothing. Oh, this may describe some folk that you know today. It may describe you. But as you listen to the words of this song, be assured that what the songwriter was saying could be your story today if you'll invite the presence of God to come into your life and you'll surrender everything in your life to Him. Worship God and be blessed by the message of this song as Joni Tilton comes to sing Something Out of Nothing.
In the beginning, the world was formed by your design. One spoken word and the sun began to shine. You created valleys low, the mountains tall, and you made something out of nothing at all. My life was aimless, full of empty wasted years. I was so lost, so full of heartache and fears. But Lord, you reached on down with your loving hand and you lifted me up. And you made something out of this nothing at all. Nothing, just a beggar. I was low as I could be, and it's something now that now I'm an heir to royalty. Lord, you gave me light in the dark night, strength every time I fall, and you made something out of nothing at all. You gave me light in my dark night, strength every time I fall, and you made something out of nothing at all. Lord, you made something out of nothing at all. Because
he's able to make something out of nothing, we have life today. In fact, because of Jesus Christ, his presence and dwelling within our lives, we have a reason to live. There are a lot of what I call life stealers that can come and have an impact on us. Things that will take our joy, things that will rob us of peace, things that would cause us to want to give up and go down in defeat. And yet the answer to all of those things that would seem to have such a negative impact on our lives can be answered by just letting Jesus live within us. Because He lives, we live. You'll hear a little bit of it in the song that evangelist Jonathan Garlock is coming to sing as he comes to share with us, "He's the only reason I live."
I've been blessed in many things. God's been good to me. I've got family and friends who share in all I do. But if I lose it all and I am left with nothing, nothing in this world that's worth living for. It all just leaves you empty and longing for more. Oh, but He's the only reason I live. And oh, what a reason. You may have tried a whole lot of things to find real happiness, but if you've searched very long, you know it just cannot be found. No, no, but if you found the Lord and you know that's worth living for. It all just leaves you empty and longing for more. But He's the only reason I live. And oh, what a reason. Oh, there's nothing in this world that's worth living for. It all just leaves you empty and longing for more. Oh, but He's the only reason I live. And oh, what a reason.
realize today that this service may be a little different, a little unusual as to what some folk may have expected it to be. But I sincerely believe in this service today that God is reaching out to some very special people. Some folk that, as I said earlier in the service at the opening, are searching for God. People that are looking for something to make the difference, not knowing what it is that they're looking for. Well, I believe in this service today, you can find it. The writer of Proverbs tells us that God gives grace to the lowly. Later on in the book of Titus, he would say that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. What that says to me today is this, that no matter who you are and no matter what the story of your life has been, God is reaching out to you with His grace so that He would not only save you for all of eternity, but that He would even today begin to make the difference in your life. Today, I believe that if you'll turn everything over to God, you'll find what it is that you've been searching for. As I lead you in prayer, please don't just listen to what I'm going to say. My words to man won't make any difference. But what I say to God, I believe, will make a difference. But no greater difference than the words that you yourself speak to Him. For it doesn't really do much good if I pray for you, if you do not ask for some things from God yourself. So you pray. If you're not accustomed to praying, it's just like talking to anyone. You don't have to use big long words. You don't have to be a great orator, knowing how to speak eloquently. Just talk to God from your heart. He'll hear your cry. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I really feel in my spirit today that you're reaching out to somebody who really desperately needs to feel your touch. Someone who is searching for something, not really knowing what it is that they're searching for. I pray that God, you will position yourself in their lives today, that they will find what they're looking for, and that they will know that it is you that they are looking for. I pray that they will find within you all that they have need of in their lives, and that by inviting you in, Lord, your presence in their lives will make their lives complete. I pray that you will reach out to that individual, removing all hindrances that may prevent you from going through and reaching them. I pray that there will be an open pathway from where they are to where you are, God, so that you and their lives can come together. For your honor and your glory, we pray that you would do these things. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
When the sea is raging and the waves are crashing round, when my heart is heavy and I'm swiftly going down, help me to remember, however rough the sea, that underneath the current, your arms are holding me. In your arms you cradle me and make me feel secure. In your arms you're showing me your mercy will endure. In your arms you're lifting me above the troubled sea. I'll be safe because I know your arms are holding me. When the storm has ceased her raging, the sun will still remain. So until the shadows vanish, your power will sustain. For it's there that I find refuge, where I'll be safe from harm. No storm can overtake me in the shelter of your arms. In your arms you cradle me and make me feel secure. In your arms you're showing me your mercy will endure. In your arms you're lifting me above the troubled sea. I'll be safe because I know your arms are holding me. Yes, I'll be safe because I know your arms are holding me.
I still believe that prayer changes things. I believe that, first of all, because that's what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that when we call upon the name of the Lord, He will hear our cry. The second reason I believe that is because that's what experience has taught me. That when I talk to Him about the things that are going on in my life, He listens to me and He comes to help me with those things that I'm having difficulty with. There's a song that Beth Grimmel is coming to sing that I think will help us today. If you'll put yourself in the position of these disciples that night out on a stormy sea, I think you'll find that what He's done for them, He'll do for you even now. Listen to the words of this song as she comes to sing. Your cries have awoken the Master.
Disciples were getting concerned. The wind started violently blowing, but He was asleep in the stern. Does He not care that we perish? We're helpless and we're so afraid. Jesus arose when they called Him and said to them, your faith, because you prayed all night, because you've held on with all of your might, child, your cries have awoken the Master. Oh, He knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. It hit you without any warning. The storm of your life had begun. Seeing no hope in the distance, you're frightened and nowhere to run. By now your vessel is filling, and you're thinking that you'll surely drown. You cried out for help from the Savior, and you know you can't give up now. Because you prayed all night, because you've held on with all of your might, child, your cries have awoken the Master. Oh, He knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice. Child, your cries have awoken the Master.
there worrying, but he's fast asleep. The winds are so deadly, the water's so deep. But try to be patient, for soon he'll bring peace. Just one word from his voice, and it'll must cease. Because you've prayed all night, because you've held on with all of your might, child, your cries have awoken the master. Oh, he knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice. Child, your cries have awoken the master. Your cries have awoken the master.
I trust that that song ministered to your heart as it did to my heart today. Surely, without a doubt, as we cry out, our cries awaken the Master. And when He hears our cry, He comes to our rescue. And today I'm so very grateful for that. I'm praying that as we cry out on behalf of the ministry of Souls Harbor, that our cries will awaken some of our audience. For today, we truly do need your help. As you've often heard us say here on Souls Harbor, this ministry is here today surely and purely through the efforts of you, the viewing audience. You are what makes this programming possible. Without you, there is no Souls Harbor. So you see, today we are totally dependent upon your giving, your help. It's through your financial contributions that we are able to take care of the expenses of providing this ministry each and every week. So today we humbly come to ask you one more time, if you would, please consider what you could do to help the ministry of Souls Harbor to continue doing what we are doing. That is, each and every week providing something through the singing of the songs and the sharing of God's Word that we believe is a help to people. We've heard a lot of friends who have talked about something that was heard in this service that has helped to make the difference for them. Many times they had about given up on their faith, but when we came along to remind them of what their faith could do, their faith got that little bit of a boost and made the difference. Well, we want to be able to continue to provide that kind of help to folk who may at times be struggling almost at the end of their rope. With your help, we can make a difference. So today, would you make the first difference by helping us with a financial contribution? If you're prepared to jot down our contact information, I'll give it to you so that you can get in touch with us in the next few days. In the U.S., you would write to Souls Harbor, Post Office Box 275, Corinth, Maine, 04427. To make a contribution by Visa, MasterCard, or Discover Card, please call our U.S. office at 207-285-3131. If you'd like the convenience of making a contribution online, please go to our website, www.soulsharbor.tv. If you'll click on the donate button at the bottom of the home page, you'll be able to get a contribution directly to us. Now, for our friends in Canada, please write to our Canadian office. That address is Souls Harbor, Post Office Box 611, Centerville, New Brunswick, E7K3H5. In Canada, to make a contribution by Visa, MasterCard, or Discover Card, please call our Canadian office at 506-276-3551. I have to say it today because my heart is just so full of appreciation to each and every one who helps us each and every week. We are absolutely dependent upon those who contribute a monthly contribution. You are the base of our budget. We know we can count on you because each and every month you are there to help us. Those who may not give every month but give once in a while, you help to put it all together. And we just want to say thank you to everybody who was able to do anything to help us, whether your gift is small or whether it might be a larger gift. You see, it all helps to make the difference. At the end of the month, at the end of the year, it's amazing. It comes out almost to the dollar of what our expenses are. And so as long as we can take care of the expenses, we're happy to be here. You're the one that makes the difference. So thank you. We pray God's richest blessings upon you for whatever you're able to do to help us. Just before I share something from the Word of God, I'm going to go over and sing a song that's been around for a little while. If you know it, please sing it along with me. It sort of asks the question today, who am I? When you think about all that God has done for mankind, it may cause you to ask such a question, who am I that God would do all of these things? Well, through this song and what I'm going to share with you in a few moments, I hope to answer, at least in part, some of your questions. Sing along with me today as I share with you the song, Who Am I?
When I think of how He came so far from glory, came and dwelt among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace. On Mount Calvary took my place. Then I asked myself this question, who am I? When I'm reminded of His words, I'll leave Thee never. Just be true, I'll give to you life forever. I wonder what I could have done to deserve God's only Son to fight my battle. Till they're won, who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that He would pray, not my will thine for? The answer I may never know, why He ever loved me so. But to an old rugged cross He'd go. For who am I?
confess that even though I have been a Christian all of my life, today I still don't fully understand why God would love me. When I look at me, I see all the imperfections, the flaws. I remember the failures, the mistakes that I've made, the times when I embarrassed myself with my actions, my words, my thoughts, my feelings. And yet, despite all of the things that I'm not, He still loves me. Now, I could say the very same thing about you today. Even though I may not really know your story, I know enough about God to know that none of us really measure up to what we ought to be, and yet, despite it all, He loves us. I have to stop thinking of myself in the terms of what I'm not and start thinking of myself in terms of what I am. I'm a child of God. If you've asked God to forgive you of your sins and invited Him to come into your life, then you too are also a child of God. Now, the understanding, the reality of being His children ought to change everything about us. Now, when I see my shortcomings, when I see my flaws and my failures, I realize that I can overcome those things because I'm not living within myself today. I am living within Him. And He is living within me. His presence in our lives today empowers us to overcome those things that would keep us down, those things that would derail our lives. If we could just somehow think today and remember, recall that because we're His children, that changes everything. It will indeed change everything. Let me share with you something that I've come across again in my personal Bible reading. It just seems like when I read it a few days ago, it leaped off the page at me once again. And it reminded me of some things that would go a long ways to helping me in my day-to-day living. It's found in the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 4. Paul here, in addressing the church at Philippi, says something that I want to read in your hearing once again to remind you that perception does make a difference. How you think about yourself makes a difference. How you perceive what God is doing in your life will change your life and continue to change your life day by day, perfecting you into the image of Christ. If we could follow that pathway today, it would change every aspect of our lives. Isn't that what we want God to do today? Is to change things within our lives that we cannot change for ourselves? To do things for us that are beyond our scope or our ability to do for ourselves? Philippians chapter 4 will help us with this. I want to draw your attention specifically to verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Hear what the Scripture says to us. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. What is it that Paul the Apostle is saying here? Could he actually be saying to us that the way we think could have an effect upon the way that we live? I believe that's exactly what he's telling us. In my own personal experience and in my experience of working with others, I have found it to be true that a person's thought processes have an effect on the things that they do and the way that they do things. Now, when you talk about that, you're talking about the things that they can achieve or not achieve. Our thought processes can either make us or break us. Now, I know that I'm venturing into some dangerous territory here, but please understand what I'm saying today, that when you take the way that you think and you link it with the power of God's presence in your life, there is nothing that you cannot do. Paul also is the one that tells us that we can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth us. I believe that to be true today. I've watched that happen in so many people's lives and even in my own life that I can't deny that that's what happens when we let God help us. Today, I think the secret to some folks' situations is that we need to surrender the way that we think to the influence of God upon our lives. If we could start thinking of ourselves in the terms of who we are as being a child of God, as being a child of God, we enjoy the presence of God, the guidance of our Heavenly Father to help us in all areas of life. I hear it a lot today that we are the way we are because of our DNA. Our genetic code determines our personality traits and different things about us, and those are things we can't do anything about. Well, I don't disagree that there is a genetic makeup, that there is a DNA that has an impact on us. And yet at the same time, I realize that when we recognize certain things in our lives, that if we will put our mind to it and let God help us with it, we can overcome things that could prevent us from achieving all that we can achieve within our lives. I realize today I'm talking to some folk that maybe you don't feel like you've got too much longer in your life and it's too late to undo anything that's been done. It's too late to make any changes. I hear it said all the time, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I strongly disagree. If that old dog has a willingness to learn, there may be some tricks left for it to learn that could change the remainder of its life. Today, Paul is telling us that what we think has a profound effect on our lives. In my library, in my office, I have several books that have been written by Dr. John Maxwell. I've been in many of his sessions and I've read most all the books that he's written. And there's one book in particular that I came across that I have read several times. The book is entitled Think on These Things. In the introduction of his book, Dr. Maxwell writes, "How you think determines who you are." I believe that. I agree with that. He also says this, and I want you to hear this today because I believe that in this, linked to what Paul the Apostle has written, it may very well open some doors for us. Dr. Maxwell writes, "Your life today is a result of your thinking yesterday. Your life tomorrow will be determined by what you think today." Think about that just a little bit. What I am today is because of the way I thought yesterday. If I want to arrive at certain places tomorrow, it may be that I need to change the way I think today. No wonder Paul admonishes us to think on the things that are true, the things that are honest, the things that are just, the things that are pure, the things that are lovely, the things that are of good report. He's saying the way that we think influences the way that we feel, and therefore we approach things differently because of the way that we are thinking of ourselves, our abilities, and what can come our way. Well, I got to say it one more time. We can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth us. There are things that are affecting you that are environmental. What I mean by that is this. They are the things that surround you. It may be that you're surrounded by a lot of negative-minded people. Hard to fight against that. If you're enveloped by a negative attitude all around you, it really won't take too long for you to begin to feel negative within yourself. I'm not promoting the doctrine of the power of positive thinking, but I am telling you that if you approach everything with a negative mindset, you're going to yield negative results. But if you can approach every challenge, if you can approach every situation with the remembrance that you can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth you, those things that would stop you, you will be able to overcome. Those things that are preventing you from achieving the things you desire to achieve, having the things that you desire to have, those things will go away when you begin to realize that you're not locked into what you used to be. You're not locked into just what you possess for power on your own, but you can overcome because the power of God dwelling within you will help you to overcome those things. Your environment can make the difference. You can also be affected by the people that surround you. Sometimes your friends really aren't your friends. And it just might be that some of your enemies are not really your enemies. And yet, the friends that we have, Job had three friends that he thought had come to help him. But as you read Job's story, those three friends only brought him down even more. Oh, I wished I had time to deal with this subject like I'm feeling it in my spirit today. I'm out of time and I've got to leave you for another week. But think on these things. Do what Paul is saying. And then look at your own life and see how your thought processes could make a difference. If you just let God influence the story of your life. Let Him direct and guide your every footstep. You may find that God will take you a long ways from where you're at today. And as He does that, your life will become better. Your life will prosper because God is dwelling within you. I don't stand here to tell you you'll be a rich millionaire, but I do stand here to tell you that God will help you with every problem, every trial of life, if you'll let Him. Think on these things. Heavenly Father, right now I pray that You will help these that need Your help today in such a profound way that God, as they sit in Your presence, You will show them what they need to do. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Once I was clothed in the rags of my sin, wretched and poor, lost and lonely within, but with wondrous compassion, the King of all kings, in pity and love, He took me under. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, praise God, I'm a child. Thank you. Now I'm a child with a heavenly home. My Holy Father has made me His own. Now I'm cleansed by His blood, and I'm clothed with His love. And someday I'll sing with the angels above. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing, praise God, praise God. I'm a child of the King. Praise God, I'm a child of the King.
I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. Oh, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I will sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus, I'm safe.